Dave Moore on Today FM.
This is brilliant. I am joined by Irish actor and wonderful star of the brilliant House of Guinness, Niamh McCormack. Niamh, good morning.
Good morning.
If it's okay with you, we'll get to House of Guinness in a bit, right? Because
yes,
I do want to talk about lots of other things. First of all, we'll get to the Crucible as well in a second, but just your story. How did you become an actor? What was your kind of path? Because people will be listening today going, I might think about doing that, or I might have a kid who might want to do that. Or I might, you know, like, what's the path to becoming an actor as successful as you have in the last while we've seen you blow up?
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's slow and steady wins the race. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes I think no one sees.
So the 15-year overnight success.
Yeah. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah.
So you have to love this job because there's so much rejection. I mean, I was always doing drama camp on the weekends and musical theatre. I had such an itch for it. And I went to a school in Smithfield. Or it's not in Smithfield anymore. It's in Rathmines. It's called Bow Street.
Okay.
For screen acting when I was 17. And I left at 18 and COVID happened, which is brilliant.
Everything
and it just, I think, changed the trajectory of the film industry forever. And I just slowly started auditioning for things and I was getting nowhere, absolutely nowhere, being in Dublin. And then London was where I started to kind of, there was a bit of interest for me there. And I booked a show called Everything Now, which is on Netflix. It's a teen show.
I remember that.
About mental health. A beautiful, beautiful show written by one of my good friends, Ripley Parker. And it was kind of my first real taste of, this is a Netflix show,
sure,
I'm a lead.
Yeah.
And I got to move over to London. I was 21, didn't know how to use the dishwasher. you know what I mean? In a big, bad city.
Yeah.
And I grew up really, really fast. And I think you just get into the flow of it then. There's always going to be rejection, I think.
It's funny, I'm really lucky. I get to speak to really famous people all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And including actors. And I, like, in the last little while, like, it's so name droppy when I say this, but I've spoken to people like George Clooney, for example, right?
Yeah.
He's chaos. I love him. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But he talked about the fact that he's 64 years old and the work is still the same level of nerves and trepidation and doubt, self-doubt, and doubt about, will I get to, am I right for this part? Whatever it is, rejection is still a massive part of his life, and he's George Clooney.
Yeah.
So as an actor, and funny you mentioned going to kind of a stage school. So I have twin girls, and one of them is in a stage school, and yesterday's guest in your seat was Dave Whelan, who is the beast right now in the Gaiety, you're about to do your Crucible play. But he runs a stage school, and my daughter's in his stage school, and she's going for a part right now, so I had to sit her down over the week and kind of go, listen, rejection is a thing. It's not that you're bad.
Yeah.
You just might be right for this or for whatever other myriad reasons you're not going to get the part. And maybe you will.
Yeah.
But it's such a key part, a resilience part to being, I don't know, an actor, a musician, a playwright, a poet, a sculptor. Like, people are going to go, no thanks.
Yeah.
A lot.
You're not going
to
be everyone's cup of tea.
You have to be built for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes getting that yes so special, because you've had to go through so many stages to get the yes from so many different people, like producers and casting directors and the heads of Netflix or whatnot. And everyone has to agree on you. And then it's yours.
And then it's yours.
It's your responsibility.
But then if you think about the amount of people in that chain, that equation that lands you that role, and at any point, just one of those flicks the switch and it just wasn't right for us because the producer said this. But you are right for the role in The Crucible, which is an amazing Arthur Miller play. It's been around since the 50s. I was having a look back at some of the people who've been in big versions of this show. So Irish interest in Liam Neeson was in a big one in 2002 alongside Kristen Bell, who obviously people will be very familiar with for lots of different reasons. 2018, Paddington, Ben Whishaw was the lead in it. Saoirse Ronan and Ciarán Hinds were in that one. I mean, these are big shoes because this is a big play. So what's your play experience like?
I've never done a play.
You're kidding me.
I've never done a play in my life. Me. Yeah, I know.
So you're just jumping in. Jumping in with The Crucible.
In the deep end. And with The Crucible, of all the plays to do, I know.
So you're Abigail, aren't you?
I am Abigail.
What's Abigail's role in this? I mean, I suppose for anyone listening who doesn't know, can we get like, I mean, it's hard, but like, a kind of a 30-second explainer of what The Crucible is. It's a big show.
It's a big play with many themes that are, you know, I think will never go out of style. It kind of plays on that, like, hysteria and mob mentality. So it's set in 1692, the Salem witch trials. And it's basically he said, she said, you know, play on religion.
Rumor, conjecture, and
the small town and how a rumor can really, you know, go out of hand. And it kind of, I think, ties into, I mean, Arthur Miller wrote it about McCarthyism in the 50s about the communists.
That's what it was about, right?
So, okay. And it really plays on like social class and women not having their voices being heard, and then them rising up because people are listening to them for the first time because they're accusing people of witches and they're being listened to.
Okay.
In court.
And what about Abigail then? What about her role?
Yeah, I mean, she starts accusing women.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's an orphan. She's taken in by her uncle, Reverend Paris, and she's evil, I think.
Yeah.
But I sympathise with her. Yeah. I think she's a victim, but she really gets the show off of its feet. She's okay. The antagonist, and she goes head to head with John Proctor, who she loves and wants to be with, and his wife, she feels like, is the only thing standing in the way of that. And she then accuses Elizabeth Proctor of being a witch.
Then all of a sudden, as you said, mob mentality and rumour and counter-rumour and all that.
Hysteria and religion. Yes. I mean, there's so many themes that are so relevant to today.
And how... Because this runs from February 9th to March 21st. Mm-hmm. How far along the rehearsal route are you?
We had our first read-through yesterday.
Yeah. Wow!
Yeah, and I have to go back in after this.
You've got a little bit of a break now and you're straight back in. Okay,
yeah,
So how's it feeling there? I mean, you're obviously getting to know each other. And
yeah, you know, it felt like the first day of school. Mm. I do feel, as you were saying earlier on, like even George Clooney feels like this, you know, an imposter, or I'm going to be found out or something, especially it being my first play. But I mean, I was sitting around yesterday listening to this read-through and just felt like I was in the presence of legends, theatre legends. So I'm in the best hands possible, I think, and it's such an incredible play. And I mean, my little brother studied it in school for the
really insert, yeah.
I did all my sons,
okay,
so I didn't do
another
the Crucible
one, yeah,
but now
one.
I feel like I'm back there really going through it, the themes of it and what it meant to be, you know, alive during that time. So I'm really excited for it. I'm very nervous though at the same time.
Well, understandably so, but I think, as you said, you're in great hands, but second of all, you're a great actor, so this is going to be like one of the things where you go, yes, I did the Crucible,
I did the Crucible
in my 20s, I did that, yes.
Exactly.
Gaiety. 9th of February to the 21st of March is when you can see Niamh as Abigail in The Crucible. A lot of you will know Niamh from her role as Ellen Cochrane in House of Guinness.
I'm sure you have some grand lady who you're pursuing.
She does not care to be pursued.
So some girl down the docks would be easy meat while you take a break in the pursuit of finer fare.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who I am. That's exactly why I came. If I did, don't you think I could get out?
You can try if you want.
I really don't want.
Nor is it what I want, but try if you want.
I lost track of the wants and not wants. You mean you want me to stay, not because of the landlady, just because that is what you want?
I think so, yes.
Wow, what a scene. Yourself and Louis Partridge. Brilliant. That show is incredible. And when it came out, I was lucky enough to talk to Stephen Knight. The man who created that, Peaky Blinders, the new Bond movie. You know, he's got some history of making good stuff. What's the situation like when you get a call, as we spoke about, as any actor does, you know, and you go audition for this, and then your agent rings you with the good news that you're in? What's that feeling like?
I can't even explain.
Really?
It was emotional. I got very emotional, especially, I think, the context of who the character is. Like, she's a strong Fenian woman in the 1800s. It just felt very close to home. I think I was representing a lot of women who came before me. And Stephen, I'm such a big fan of his work. Like, Peaky Blinders, it's one of my favourite shows. And he just writes, he breathes such life into his characters. So I think to get that call and the responsibility of that character in your hands, it was just surreal. Like, it was a dream, honestly. Every day was just, it felt like I was the luckiest person in the world.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I mean, didn't you find out, I don't know, was it at the end of the shoot or even when you're finished, that you actually, you say you're representing people, you're representing family. Don't you have a generational relationship with the IRB?
Yeah. So I think I said in an interview that there was no lieutenants. I think I mixed up the word.
Yeah.
The chief or something of arms kind of in there. It's a very well or bad kept secret now, I guess I've told half of Ireland. But, you know, it's only now people are coming out of like the shadows and talking about it because it was so forbidden to kind of talk about.
Yeah.
And there's such a stigma around it. I mean, so it felt really just personal to me, that this role and this character, and like telling the story of the people and what we went through to gain independence from Britain. Yeah. It was such a long winded road. And even after Guinness, I mean, there's still about 60 or 70 years until we get independence. Not even full independence.
No,
anyway.
Look at us now. It's still a conversation.
Exactly.
But things like Louis Partridge, for example, I mean, the cast was so amazing on that. I mean, like, you know, when Stephen Knight's involved, you know, everyone's going to bring their A game, whatever. But like, for example, Louis Partridge is in J. Kelly, which is the George Clooney, Adam Sandler movie. The reason I was talking to George recently was about that. And like, even seeing you guys collectively, like, dotted around all these other projects is like, because even if the cast that people might know aren't yet household names, it's only a matter of time. Mm. Like, you guys are just doing so many things. Like, yeah. And, you know, it's just great to see that.
I mean, it's so much fun. And when you get down to it, like, we're all just kind of doing, living our dream and acting. Yeah. And we're all the bloody same at the end of the day. Like, even George Clooney sitting in here. Yeah. He had a dream once. I mean, now he's George Clooney. So for us, I think it was really special and we bonded a lot and we were all kind of similar ages as well. And it was just such a treat and we all really cared about it. And
yeah.
You can see that in the show.
Totally. And Ellen was such an important role as well because, as you said, like representing history and all that, but also just within the story, she was so pivotal and it was such an amazing role. And like, I just think you were just so brilliant at it.
Thank you.
Did you want to take the clatter ring she had and you didn't, weren't allowed?
Oh my God, yeah. I want to take the wig, honestly.
The wig was unbelievable. Wig. Yeah,
I know. I wanted to take everything.
Neve's hair is a lot darker, everyone shouldn't realize, than yes. Ellen's was.
Yeah. I get comments a lot saying I look better as a ginger. I'm like, what do you want me to do about that? I don't have ginger hair. I'm sorry.
I think you need to buy a bag of wigs. Yeah. Is what plenty what they're saying to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I stole a few little like letters and stuff, but everything's very, you know, high security.
I like to ask actors that like, do you have anything on set? And you can just see their eyes shifting, going, is anyone listening to this conversation?
Yeah. I can't say this.
I may have things. Well, look, do we know what's next? I mean, obviously the Crucible is next, but I mean, in terms of stuff on screen, are we allowed to ask that question? Do you know what's happening next, or is now focus is just the Crucible and get to the other side of that?
Yeah, I think at the moment, get to the other side. I mean, there's everything is so up in the air with this job. Mm. You don't know until it could be a week before and you get a call and you go, okay, I have to go to Zimbabwe for 6 months. Yeah. So it'll happen. I don't even know. I wish I could say something, but fingers crossed.
Well, I'll
let you guys know as soon as I hear.
We will keep everything crossed. As long as you promise to come back in and talk to us about whatever that project
promise,
is.
I promise. You've got my word.
Neve McCormack, break a leg in The Crucible, you and all the rest of the cast. It runs from the 9th of February to the 21st of March in the Gaiety Theatre right here in the middle of Dublin City. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Neve, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Dave Moore on Today FM.